sisters. Oh, man.
Everyone click.
Yeah.
I can't believe he did it.
You don't have to do what he says.
Oh,
I think it's Daniel doesn't.
Well, there we go. We are family. We're talking about families. We're on the potty here with Daniel, David, and a whole bunch of guests. This is easily our record for number of guests, would you say, Dan?
Almost. I think we've gone close on maybe Potty Royale, Potty Royale Live, where we're on the oval with like 100 kids.
Other than those ones. No, the Potty Royale when we sat down with a crew of people, that was pretty big.
What about Potty Live?
Potty Live. No, that was only like Joel.
Yeah, but there was... It wasn't really...
Yeah! In the crowd. Yeah. Good times.
That was a bad episode.
Worst ever. The poo one from two weeks ago was pretty bad. I reckon we got good hits on that because it said do not listen. When you tell someone not to listen, they
Everyone
listen.
Listens.
Now, we're talking about families today. This is actually part of our Jaywalk issue number 4, which is about, I guess, parents. context.
Yep, sorry. What?
What's the context of that?
Of what? Jaw.
Jaw. Just for the people here who don't listen to the potty.
Oh. it's really funny when there's two words and you take the beginning of one and put it with the end. So, like, that's a water jug. It's a wug.
Or is it a wug jug?
No, it's a wug.
Okay. So you take it. Okay. Cool. Good times. This is the 2 days in a row we've done a podcast.
I know.
We did one yesterday in the drop pool.
The plunge pool.
The plunge pool.
Didn't
good
go
times.
Online, though.
No, but they won't hear this until that one's already online.
Yeah, right.
So it's Sunday nights after church. We've just enjoyed some pizza. And this Jaywalk issue is all about parents. And I thought we'd kick off just quickly talking to Dan. Tell us about your parents. We had your mum on the show two episodes ago.
Delightful.
It was delightful to have your mum on the show. She loves you.
She didn't sound very much like my mum, actually.
It was actually Ro putting on a voice. Good job, Wendy. No, it was your mum. Tell us about your parents growing up.
Well, I grew up in a family where my parents saw as being the most important thing for me was that I knew Jesus. So that for them meant that the stuff that they'd... Right down to the stuff they'd get me for Christmas, the books that they'd read to me...
Bible games!
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, we didn't play any Bible games, but everything that we did as a family... They made sure that me and my brother and I, knew Jesus. Like, they wanted us to know Jesus. So, each night we'd pray. Mum and Dad would come and tuck us in. We'd pray together. We'd read from the Bible. Lots of different stuff like that. Dad, growing up, he kept getting inspired to try and start dinner devotion time. And it was too... I don't know, family
that
matters.
Tim Godden is crazy. That's the problem.
Just couldn't do it. Yeah,
we call him Todden.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's your job. Yeah. You call him Todden.
And so my parents were massive in me becoming a Christian. So although I grew up in a Christian family, I didn't become a Christian until I went on my kind of first camp away from my family. They encouraged me to go on that camp. They encouraged me to get locked into youth groups. They were keen for me. The church we were going to before we came to CCC, they weren't happy with the guys who were running the kids ministry because they didn't think they were teaching the Bible. So they forced us to sit in church and listen. So we got kicked out. We got pulled out of kids ministry by our parents.
We got to critique the sermon with them.
No, they actually did a stupid thing then. They gave us books. Like, they sat in there once.
Read comics.
But they gave us Christian novels to read.
Ah, Good Times, Left Behind. Yeah,
No.
That's not a novel. That's a tragedy.
Yeah. So they were really helpful. And good. And the other thing that I found great was, particularly my dad, spent good time with me as his son. We weren't good at doing lots of things together. We didn't often enjoy the same things. But Dad worked hard at making a priority that, like when I was growing up, he wanted to pray with me and talk about stuff one-on-one with me. And that was great for when I had questions, I went to him. And I remember lots of late-night chats up in the attic, me crying and him explaining stuff. And
now, sounds like you've had a great relationship with your parents. Your parents are still together. They're married.
Yep.
They still like each other.
Yeah, they do. They, more and more.
That's sick, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gross.
Join the dots on that one, kids.
It has been gross in the past.
We'll keep moving from there, kiddies. We'll keep moving. Just, and if you're in that same situation, keep moving.
Yeah.
That's the message.
But, like, I honestly, lots of people say they find it gross that their parents have sex.
I just wanted to say the S-E-X word.
This is something I feel passionately about. I actually don't...
Sex. Daniel feels passionate about sex, but he's married. It's appropriate in the right context. Cool.
I love the fact that my parents... This is the right thing to say.
It is. It's great.
I love ratings right now.
I love that my parents have sex, and I love that they have been open with us about having it. Because... No, because I've seen from them a relationship that, I don't know, I love their relationship with each other, and I want to emulate that with my wife. So, not just
shout out to Renee.
Come on, that's not what I mean. I don't just mean in terms of having sex, but I mean the fact that they were open with us, and it wasn't like I just thought my parents were friends who hung out in the same room. Like, I knew that they loved each other, and I knew that from the fact that they would go away for weekends, and that they, Dad would keep doing romantic stuff for Mum. Little comments that they'd make to each other.
Mental note, David.
So I think that's been really important for me. As a guy, even keep being married, looking back and seeing parents who at times were embarrassing.
Well, your parents, I'm assuming they fight. They're not that brilliant that they've never fought. So they obviously have fights and stuff, but they're still together. But that's actually not normal that parents are necessarily together. Like the statistics for divorce, the statistics for separation, the statistics for adultery, the statistics for family breakdown are significant and growing every year. They're alarming statistics. And so our guess is there's lots of people listening to this at youth group who are in different contexts. You might well have Christian parents, but there might even be problems in your Christian family. And your parents may be at different stages. And so we've worked out there's like at least 10 different scenarios that you might be in if you're listening to this, whether you're still a teenager or whether you're now 40 and you're too old to listen to this thing, but for some reason you're one of our fans. Sorry.
Shout out to Wendy Godden.
She's not 40. She's 41.
Way more.
But there's at least 10, like you might have Christian parents, you might have non-Christian parents, you might have nominal Christian parents. That means they just tick the box on the census form. You might have, your parents might be separated, they might be divorced, one of them might be deceased, both of them might be deceased, you might be adopted, you may have never met your parents, you may, your parents may be abusive, you might have a parent in jail, you might have parents that still fight with one another. You might have parents that you fight with. We all fight with our parents, but maybe you, in particular, you might fight with your parents a lot. So we're really keen that in this episode of On the Potty that ties in with our Jaywalk, we've actually got a panel here. We haven't actually introduced them yet. We'll quickly introduce them by name. We'll get them to say their name and tell us their favourite thing they've done this weekend in like two words or less. Okay, so quickly shout out your name.
Aaron.
Favourite thing on the weekend?
Bushwalking in the Blue Mountains.
Good times.
Kelly.
It can be more than two words, but...
Went to Darren Simon's house for me, that was fun.
Good times.
Bushwalking with my brother.
That's Adrian.
What's your name?
Adrian. I was getting to that.
And my brother is the brother of Adrian.
You figure out who I was when I said who my brother and my father were.
You didn't say that, but...
You interrupted me.
It's frustrating, isn't it? I was trying to speak before I interrupted.
I was, this is the... Okay. I went bushwalking with my brother and my father for my dad's birthday, which is good.
Good times, Nicole. What's your name?
Nicole.
Awesome. Weekend.
I discovered a really, really delicious grilled toast.
Cool. That's awesome. Where at?
Oh, at my home.
Awesome. That's even better. Yeah.
I'm Ro.
And highlight weekend?
Babysitting my nephew.
Oh, good times. And Josh?
And I watch girly TV shows.
Awesome. If you watch girly TV shows,
and now send an email to Josh.
Fantastic. In the Bible, there's a in Luke chapter 13, if you've got the NIV, there's a heading that says repent or perish. I'll quickly read it rather than paraphrasing it. It says, now there were some present at the time who told Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. All those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." There's two different stories there. We don't need to go into all the details of those stories. But basically, I guess a big thing to take away from that passage is, in the context of tragedy, in the context of suffering, in the context of difficult times, there's two ways you can respond to God. You can either repent, that is, turn to God, or you can turn away from God. Perish is the word that's used in the passage. And I guess our aim today and tonight, as you listen to this, is we want to encourage you, no matter what the situation is with your parents, no matter how tough things are at home, we really want to encourage you, as we hear from these leaders we've got on the panel here, we want to encourage you not to turn away from God, but to turn to God. He's our rock, he's our salvation, he's our comfort, he's the God of all comfort, and he's the God, he's the perfect father, he is the perfect parent, and we can trust him when times are tough. So that's our introduction, so that means this show's going to go for about 3 hours, but we'll just go around the table, and basically we're going to talk to each of these people. And here's some of the context of just their scenario growing up and something about their parents and I guess how they felt about it. We don't want these guys here who are fantastic leaders, we don't want them trashing their parents, and we don't want you to think that as a result of this show you need to trash your parents. We want you maybe to understand a bit more about your parents and understand that there's others that have gone through what you're going through and are still going through what you're going through. So we'll kick off with Aaron. Aaron, tell us a little bit about... I guess your scenario, it's been quite recent, some of the stuff in your life. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my scenario was very similar to Dan's. Both my parents are Christians, and I grew up in a Christian family, and they always encouraged me to pursue things of God and grow in godliness. But in about 2003 or 2004, parents went through a rough patch, and they separated. Praise the Lord, they got back together recently, last year, and yeah, that was fantastic, but it was a really hard time for me as well, and my parents as well.
It's quite rare that, like, people might get separated and try to work on things, but I don't know what the statistic is, but I think it's pretty high that if you get separated, it will lead to permanent separation / divorce. So.
Yeah, I was stoked when it happened, and I could see that the only reason they did was because they were Christians and they were committed.
They worked at it,
marriage.
So that's really exciting, and that may not be your situation, but praise God if it is, and pray if you're in a situation where your parents are separated, that if possible, that there would be reconciliation. But tell us a bit about... So you weren't like a 10-year-old or anything. You were like 18 years old.
Yeah, I was in the middle of my HSC, actually.
Yeah, tell us about how that made you feel. Like, how did it make you feel at the time?
Sad, obviously.
Yep.
I guess my perspective on my parents changed heaps as a child. You always look up to your parents and think they're these people. They're just on top of it, and they know everything. And then once it happened, I realized they are human. Parents make mistakes. It's a really difficult job working in a marriage and raising kids as well. So,
were you angry towards them? Like, you don't have to give us details, but did you feel anger?
Disappointed.
Yep.
Not so much anger, more disappointment. Yeah.
What? How'd you cope with it? How'd the HSC go because of it? Tell us about
it definitely
that.
It put things into perspective. I didn't do as well as I would have liked to in the HSC, but I guess I've realised that the HSC isn't the end of the world. There's more important things in life than that. But yeah, I coped with it. I was tempted to withdraw and just back away from everything and turn away from God. But I was encouraged by my mates and youth group and my youth leader to keep. To keep turning to God and
shout out to Adrian.
Yeah, that's good.
Say Adrian, I love you for all your
work. I love you, Adrian.
we've got the tissues out here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. The tears are flowing. No, they're not really. There you go.
Pizza oil has been what they're used for.
How through it has your so you didn't turn away from God. You've kept trusting in God. You've had great Christian brothers and great youth group leaders and stuff like that that have encouraged you. Yep. So I guess the first thing to say is if you're out there and you're going through tough times in your family, don't give up meeting with Christians. That's the worst time to give up meeting with Christians is when you're going through a tough time. They're your support. They're your people who keep pointing you back to Jesus. So it was a growth. Do you think, as you've reflected on it, that you've grown through it?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think when I when I was going through the hard times, I didn't feel like I was growing. But as I look back on it now, I realize that was probably when I did most of my growth.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like Hebrews 12, I think alludes to like. You don't enjoy hard times when they're there,
yeah.
But afterwards, man, you go, wow, did I grow as you look back? Like,
yeah.
It's like doing exercise. You don't like doing exercise, but when you finish, you go, that was good. Yeah. Anyway, some freaks like exercise.
Like Aaron.
Yeah, Aaron.
You're a freak, Aaron. Is there anything you want, just to close before we keep moving on, anything you quickly want to share about your context, about how you dealt with things that might help others?
For people who have mates that are going through this thing, don't feel like you have to have all the answers, because the people who are the most encouragement to me didn't say anything helpful at all. Just
no, keep going. This is good. Adrian, that's you. No.
they just sat there and listened, and don't feel like you have to have all the answers. Just be there for them.
Yeah.
And yeah, you have no idea how much of how good that is for them.
That's fantastic advice. Thanks heaps for sharing that stuff, Aaron. Listen to his words. If you missed them, rewind it or scroll back, however you do it. Thanks, Aaron. Kelly, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. Can you tell us a bit about your parents and so forth growing up and your situation?
Yep. So I had a mum and a dad and a brother. Don't laugh, it's not funny. And when I was two, my dad died at a Christian... Oh, I'm going to cry.
I think I'm getting tapped out.
Yep.
Do you want me to tell your story, or is it my turn?
We'll keep moving on.
Yep.
We'll go to Adrian. Kelly and Jackson have done a great thing for us and have been working really hard in writing down their ideas, and so we're really glad that they've done that. And for both of them, it's still a very real thing and a very emotional thing having. Having talked to both of them about that. Do you want to say anything about dealing with stuff at all?
I think I'm just tired.
Yeah, okay.
I never cry at this stuff.
It might be the onion we just cut. Sorry. your father died when you were young. How did you...
These tissues are here for a reason.
Tell for Josh to blow his nose before and then Adrian to blow a big booger, but... do you want to keep going?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about growing up, because you wouldn't have known your dad really well, would you?
No. Like, growing up was pretty normal, actually. Like, my mum got remarried when... Well, I don't know why I'm crying. It's like my wedding day.
You always cry at sad things. Sorry, Adrian. Sorry. I'll take it.
I'm not a crier. Yeah, it's pretty normal. Like, mum got remarried when I was probably about five. No, it wasn't. That's a lie. I was only two. We just lived at home with mum and dad and mum and Glenn. That's confusing. And Jackson and my little brother Sam. I think after my dad died, we kind of, like... I have to start from the start again. Mum and Dad worked on a Christian camp, teen ranch. And so Mum and Dad were both Christians. And then when my dad died, I think we stopped going to church. And it was just me and Jackson and Mum. And then Mum got remarried. And then Mum and Dad started going to church. And me and Jackson kind of tagged along every now and again. I didn't have a hard life or a particularly, sad life. Like, my dad died when I was two. I didn't really know him, and I guess it didn't really affect me until I was older and kind of, realised I didn't know my dad. And and that affected me. But growing up, like, both my parents are really great parents, and I've seen a lot of growth in both my parents since they've been remarried. And yeah, like, Dad works for the church, Mum has, yeah, just leads women's groups, and yeah, she's grown heaps. So they're both I've had a really great life, and it, like, growing up, I forgot my dad died. Like, it wasn't something that I ever thought about. But yeah, it just, when I got older, I kind of, you think about it a lot more, and it affects you a lot more. But yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Were there any difficulties? Like, so Glenn's sort of a stepdad. Like, you would have been 8 years old, or seven or 8 years old, so you'd gone quite a while without any dad.
Yeah.
Was it weird? Was it pretty hard to start calling him dad? Was it like...
I was a pretty funny kid. I used to call myself Kelly Carney. That's Glenn's last name. It didn't for me. I remember one day I just went out and said, I'm going to start calling you dad. And that was it, kind of thing. And from then on I did. And I don't think it was because, like, I forgot my dad and who he was, but it was just that, I guess, Glenn became my dad because, yeah, he was the one that was there at growing up, and I see him as my dad. He's a good dad.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Shout out to Glenn.
Yeah.
There you go. Just in closing, is there any, like, I'm sure there's people who are mourning, who have lost parents, whether it was when they were young or whether it's recently, who are listening. I don't know. How would you encourage them to keep trusting God when they don't want to, maybe?
Okay. I guess for me, looking back on my life and thinking about where I started and where I am now, it's all come together. Like, I can see that God has had a plan from the start for my family, and that came about through the death of my dad. And, like, I know people became Christians through my dad dying, which is cool. And I guess just knowing that God uses tragedy and death and all kinds of things to make you stronger in him. And I can see that in my family, and I can see that in my mom and Glenn, my dad, and my brothers. So I guess at the time you might not know what's going on and where you're going and what God is doing, but just to keep trusting and knowing that it is, whatever you're going through, is God's there, and there is a reason for it, and you get through it, and he'll keep holding on to you through it, and yeah.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. There's lots in there. Remind me of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called to his service. Like, even in the face of the worst tragedies and the worst problems with families, God's still a good God and has good plans. So thanks so much, Kelly, for sharing that stuff. Awesome. Adrian, welcome.
Welcome to you as well.
Good times.
Adrian's a seasoned potty person. This is his third potty, isn't it?
Is that right?
He's so good at it.
Yeah.
tell us your growing up, parents, and your context and so forth.
Okay. I lived on a Central Coast my life, and both my earliest memories of my family, I've got one brother, we all went to church, and we went to a Baptist church, and then I remember we built a house on the weekend. We built a house together, sort of thing. My dad did the building, and we helped out and stuff like that, and that meant, yeah, we took up our whole weekend and we stopped going to church. And then after the house was built, we just never went back.
Wow.
And then when I was in year six, my parents got divorced. And I don't know. So I would have been, I was in year six. My brother would have been in year 10, I think. And then what happened from there?
How did you feel at the time? Like, tell us about, like, you don't need to go into the details of the divorce, but how did you feel? How did you make sense of it?
It shocked me, I think. And
did you ever think, did you think it couldn't happen?
I think my family fought so much from when I was such a young age, I thought it was normal.
Yeah.
So when it happened, it shocked me. But now I think back at it, like, there was never a day without arguments in my house, so it shouldn't have shocked me. Me and my brother stopped talking to people. I didn't tell my friends at school for a while. I am a bit of a cry.
See, Kelly tries to cover it when she cries.
Babies.
No, crying's good. Men out there cry. We've talked about this on the man episode, didn't we? It's good to cry. I cry every week, don't I, Rose? I'd cry weekly, wouldn't I? Man, I'm a sook. I'd cry in Bette Midler movies.
I remember me and my brother were watching Married with Children, and my mum came in, and my dad was working late at work, and my mum came in the room and told us we were getting divorced, and a few weeks later, we moved out with my mum. Wow. Still didn't feel real. Me and my brother didn't move any of our stuff into our new bedroom. We just sort of lived in...
Swags.
Yeah, we just... sort of lived in bare rooms.
Yep. You want to keep going?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to say something? Or?
Yeah. My voice is going to be a bit funny for a little while. it just meant, and I just remember night times, my brother would just come into my room and we'd just sit there talking to each other, and we were the only, like, we'd only talk to each other about this sort of stuff, and just for seemed like a long time, probably a couple of months, we just spent every night together just talking about how life was going and just how crazy it was. It just seemed like it was never going to be normal again. And time just went on. And my mum got me remarried. And my dad moved away. Only about an hour away, but it just meant that we couldn't see him as much. Yeah, it was big, but life went back to normal.
Yeah.
It's not weird anymore.
What's that, sorry?
It's not weird anymore.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest things was just when something like that happened. Well, for us, it was all of a sudden. Well, for me, it was the relationship I had with my parents finished instantly. It was like the image I had of my parents changed.
Yeah.
I realized they weren't like perfect, or I realised they were just humans and made mistakes, and they were just as messed up as I was, and all of a sudden it just seemed like it was me and my brother, and then my brother became a Christian. And then through him and a couple of friends from my school, I became a Christian. And, and now I have a good relationship with my parents. And a couple of years ago, my mum became a Christian, which is great. And, like, I struggle to talk to my parents about Christian things, but, yeah, I'm thankful for God for that. And I'm not really sure where my dad's at, and everyone here knows it's hard to talk to your family. Hardest people to talk to, but yeah, that's where I'm at.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that, Adrian. Since your brother's become a Christian, you've become a Christian, your mum's become a Christian, how's being a Christian help you to think through this stuff further and deal with it? Like, it's not like it's just something that happened 15 years ago. It's still real. Like, how's, but now that you're a Christian man, how do you process it? And like, your family's not like it may have been. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I suppose I'm processing that. I know I live in a fallen world. I know things aren't the way they should be. So in that sense, yeah, everything that's happened makes sense. I shouldn't be surprised. As a Christian man, I want to... I suppose I want to be encouraging my parents just as much as I want to encourage my friends and people I go to church with and stuff, and that's really tough to find. But yeah, just if you've got non-Christian parents, and I know it's hard to talk to them, but I'm not good at it at all, but I literally just asked my mom to come to church.
Yeah.
I just kept asking her to do it, and you know, the church sort of took care of her, and yeah, she's now a Christian. That's great. I suppose if there's any guys out there with Christian, with non-Christian parents, keep praying for them. And you know, if you don't feel confident, well, I suppose I want to encourage you to feel confident to speak to them, but if you don't, just serve them however you can. Be a good model, be a good Christian model in the home, and yeah, invite them along to church.
There's a term for that. It's called tea towel evangelism. So rather than if your parents aren't Christian, rather than going home and smacking them over the head with a Bible, as good as that might be, actually just to be different and like as Adrian said, serve and help out. And I've heard of stories where little Johnny's come home and just been totally different from how he was before he became a Christian, and the mum's like, like, why are you wiping up? Like, you don't normally do it when I ask you. I haven't even asked you to do it. And families have become Christian through tea towel evangelism. So, thanks heaps, Adrian. Before I forget, I'm sure these guys would be more than happy to talk to anyone who's in similar situations. And a vibe I'm getting is that there's just, it's so important to talk to people. It's not that you have to talk to someone that's got all the answers as if someone does have all the answers. But yeah, talk to your friends, talk to youth group leaders, whatever your scenario is, whatever your situation is, whether it's good, bad or ugly. Yeah, keep coming to youth group, keep hanging out with other Christians and Christian youth group leaders. That'd be great. Thanks, Adrian. Really appreciate you sharing.
No problem.
Nicole, now we could have got pretty much any leader to do what we want Nicole to talk about today, because what we want Nicole to talk about is tell us, Nicole.
Okay. So pretty much like Daniel, I'm blessed with the family that God has given me, and they're Christians, and they have trust in God as long as I can remember. But as I got older, I guess, me and my mum just realised our differences a bit more, and we started fighting heaps. And yeah, so.
So just to clarify, that's actually happened as you've gotten old. Like, it wasn't when you're like 5, 6, 7
or something.
It was when I was.
Come on, mum.
No. That's terrible too. That happens lots. Doesn't it?
Yeah. I thought I was just thinking.
So probably. Early mid high school, I guess. We just didn't really seem to get along or talk. We just fought and picked at each other and annoyed each other. And
Now, my guess is that to whatever degree, most of us are probably in that boat, and most of our listeners are in some type of fight with parents, because parents are never right, and we're always the right ones. Was there any of that? Was it that she was wrong and you were right, or was it just?
Tell us that. It was that.
Yeah.
It still needs to be that.
No, like, I don't even remember what half of it was, but just, yeah, that, just thinking that you're so much, you know so much better than them, and just things that she says would annoy me, and things that she wants me to do and expects me to be, just everything, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you annoy her?
Yeah.
tell us, you're a Christian woman. Mm-hmm. How, as you look back, like, you've moved out, so that was one way you dealt with things. but as you look back, do you now look back and think, David's speaking way louder than everyone else?
And leaning forward into the microphone and yelling at it.
Well, I wasn't really yelling at it. I'm just sitting here.
Hey,
Daniel, how you doing?
I'm all right. That's all right.
Good times. Rock and roll.
I'm still here.
Hey, how good's that Impossible Musical Festival been?
Oh, it's been good.
I sent on the radio station that Daniel and I listen to. We've got to have a bit of banter.
Yeah, that's what I'm in the ear for, the banter.
Yeah.
Sorry, we'll get back to you.
We'll get back to you in a moment, Nicole. Right. Yeah. Anyway, on there's this Impossible Music Festival where there's all those live recordings of bands.
By some other radio station. But don't waste your time listening.
Yeah,
to
Yeah, not that one. Listen to our one. But anyway, I sent a message to Dan today. To say what band was currently on.
But you didn't say that. You just sent me a message saying Wolf Mother.
I wondered if you could work out the code. So I've just written Wolf Mother. 4 hours later, I get a message that says, Blondie, is this a game? But I'd actually just sent him a message about Jaywalk, like about this. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Blondie? What?
How does that relate? Anyway,
there you go. Did you hear Midnight Oil? Did you get my Midnight Oil message?
That was such a good thing, because then I had the best hour of listening to Midnight Oil. Yeah, but I've seen the DVD of that recording. It was really
still good times. Nicole, how you going?
Thanks, Nicole.
Yeah, you're a mature Christian woman now, and as you look back on... Just nod. Yeah. We're a woman. Have you been nut like... and Christian.
Yeah, and Christian.
Whoa, man.
Yeah,
as you look back on things, have you been humbled? Like, as you think about, maybe you weren't, like, maybe you were, maybe it wasn't just that your mum was wrong, but she may have actually been sometimes right. Tell us a bit about that.
So much, and even not just looking back, but when you're in it, because, well, when I became Christian, I guess, it was late high school, so... And then as you know God more and read how he wants you to live, and, you know, he calls us to love and respect and honour our parents. And then you go back to your family and you are like it is. It humbles you so much, and just like, oh, what am I doing with my family? Like, God has given me them to love, and like, families are great. They're there for you all the time. Well, my family was. Anyway, I know lots of people's aren't, but I fought with my family heaps, but still, they're there for me, always. And, and as you think about the stuff that you fight about, like, it doesn't even matter. It's over petty little differences, and you just got to step back, I guess, and look at the big picture and realise you're not all that, and...
That could be a song. You're not all that. Anyway, keep going, sorry.
You've reached your concentration threshold, haven't you, Dan?
No, it's about to begin. This time or not. Trust me.
I've maybe reached mine, I can't remember.
Sorry, I interrupted. It's not all. You're not all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That rap song we wrote together.
I think that if you were to go, like, I find this for me, and I imagine you'd be able to say this for yourself, mm-hmm. Nicole, that if you could go back in time, or even back in time to the last week, and look at the conversations you've had with your parents, but as an observer, mm-hmm. you'd be pretty disgusted with the stuff you say and the stuff, the way you act towards your parents.
Yeah.
Even now, you personally?
Yeah, but sometimes, yes. Sometimes I think I treat my parents really badly, okay. Still even now, in the way that I think... You know, leave me alone, I'm an old person. But I think also, yeah.
Stop coming over to fold my undies.
No.
Wendy!
I think it's... Sorry. Now that I've moved out, I don't... There's less things to have fights about.
Yeah.
But I still see... Yeah, I still see my brother... He won't mind. I still see my brother fighting Dodden. My parents lots.
Dodden.
And so when I watch that, I think, I was like that. That was really bad that I was like that.
Yeah. Mm. I just very quickly, I mean, my sister and I, when we're like, I know I was 19, she was 21, 22. We were Christian, and we were away doing lots of stuff with church and ministry things. And we come back and we're absolutely brats to our parents and short with our parents. And like Dad said one time, look, you're going off on all your camps, you're going off on all your missions and your youth groups and all those types of things, but you're horrible, which was just huge for him to say it and join the dots. And you go, man, I need to be godly Christian.
Yeah.
And I can't just be all godly as I lead a youth group or as I pray out the front or something like that, but... Man, at home, that's where you see what our characters are like. But good stuff. What's your encouragement to every single person listening to this who is a teenager and probably still, if they've got parents, has fights and stuff? How can you encourage them now that you're a few years further on from their age?
Well, I just moved out.
They can't do that yet. Nicole's got a spare bed if you need it. Bunk for the night.
Hey, right, before you say it, Nicole, has your relationship with your parents been better since you moved out?
Yeah, it has. It's changed, definitely. Like, I don't see them as much. And you don't have the things, the silly little things that you would argue about. So, if I leave stuff around, my parents don't get angry at me, and so I don't get angry back at them.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So when I see them, it's just really great because you can just see how they're going and talk about good stuff rather than just be getting annoyed at each other.
Yeah, sure.
But I guess if you've got parents who love you, just know that and... You know, they might not be around forever, so I don't know.
Love them all you can.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks heaps for sharing that stuff with us, Nicole.
No worries.
Good stuff. Now, Nicole sort of finished talking a bit about things have changed since moving out of home and so forth. Ro, welcome.
Hey.
How you doing? Last time you were on the potty, you were, like, asleep.
I was, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. Good times. That was your last time. That's all you said. Now, you're briefly just going to say some stuff just about the changing nature. Your parents are together and so forth. And how's your relationship with them changed with age and so forth? Just quickly.
It's probably been about 5 years since I've lived at home with my parents. The interesting thing was my parents moved out of home and left me. I felt a bit abandoned, to be honest.
It is a sweet deal. If you could arrange that one, do it.
No, I used to go to uni, and I was living with my sister in our house, and she's already gone to work, and I used to stand at the front door and call out to the empty house, goodbye. And nobody would say anything back. But no, it's been about 5 years, and while I missed my parents at first, I don't think they missed me. No,
they might have been doing what Daniel's parents were doing. Sorry, I was
and good on them for it.
No, let's not go there, okay? As I was growing up as a teenager, I reckon I had a fairly good relationship with my parents. I think I fought to an extent, but not excessively. But I have to say, I reckon growing up and moving out of home and getting on with your own life can actually be a really good thing for your relationship with your parents. And if you've got a bad relationship with them now, don't think it's a write-off. Like, you might actually find that in a couple of years' time, you might be really good friends with them. Mm. Like, and just like Nicole said, when you're not living at home with them, you're not getting in each other's spaces and you're not annoying each other. When you live out of home, you're just happy to see each other and you spend your time catching up. It's been really good as well seeing my parents' relationships change as well with my other siblings. So I am like a middle child, but I can remember...
Syndrome.
Compared with my older sisters, I reckon my growing up was a bit more easygoing. Like, I think my older sisters, she had to break my parents in, and I think my parents, freaked out a bit about the parenting thing. So if you're an oldest child, like...
Sucked in.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But just maybe try and be patient with your parents, because they're new at
this too. They're learning.
But But I reckon, you know, like, I've seen it. My sisters have a really good relationship with my parents. Yeah, I'm really encouraged by that.
Except for that Renee. She's great.
No, so, yeah, if you haven't got a brilliant relationship, yeah, maybe over time, like, you can actually be really good friends.
Stick it out.
There you go.
If you're in an don't stick it out if you're in an abusive relationship. There's appropriate people and docs, and there's hotlines you can ring. yeah, it might be difficult, but if you're getting beaten up, your parents shouldn't be doing that. That's not how they ought to be looking after you. We'll actually have some numbers in the Jaywalk that you can ring if you need to. So thanks for that. That's a helpful short one, Ro. And our lucky last is Josh.
Yo.
Yo, yo, yo. How you doing, bro?
Wiki-whack. Wiki-whack.
I like to pretend I have soul. I know.
You got holes in your thongs. You don't have souls on there, man.
No, I really got no soul.
You watch girl TV. You must have soul.
No, it's not called soul. I don't know what that's called.
Little girl.
That's called love.
Love. Great stuff.
Yeah, that's called love. I have heaps of love. I'm a girl.
Oh, dear. Go on.
Moving on. Tell us your situation growing up, parents and so forth, and what's going on there.
Yep.
You say Stoforth.
Yeah, it's a new word.
It's Stoforth.
It's one of those.
What am I?
Yeah, one of those. I can't remember what the other one is there.
Okay.
It's silenced.
Go on.
Yep. So I grew up in a Christian family, and I suppose my experience would have been similar to Daniel's up until about year 8, year 9. I was the oldest of 4 kids, so this might sound silly, but I had a later bedtime than the other kids. Awesome. And Mum and Dad started fighting a bit around then, but generally it'd be later at night. So I was kind of the only one who was around to see it. That probably went on for a few years. And then eventually Dad left, and he came back, and then he left again, he came back, and it was a bit confusing. That would have been about year 10, year 11-ish. And then he left for good, and Mum and Dad got divorced, and that was during year 12. So that was pretty tough. And yeah, they're still not together, so tough. And recently Mum got remarried, which is really good. I didn't always think so, but yeah, now I do.
Yep.
That's my situation.
Yeah, what, that seems like it went on for quite a while then, like that there were problems and so forth. How'd you feel about it? How'd you deal with it? Like, tell us a bit about that.
Yep. Like I said, initially it was really only me out of my brothers and sisters who were aware of what was going on. So they didn't know, I didn't tell them, I didn't really tell anyone. I don't even know if Mum and Dad knew initially, because I'd generally be in my bedroom. So to start with, I just kind of bottled it all up, kind of pretended it wasn't happening. When it became more obvious, my brothers and my sister spoke about it with me a bit. Yeah, I don't know, but it's a strange thing to talk about. It's really hard to talk about. I felt like my brothers and sisters were kind of looking up to me a lot because I was the oldest, but I didn't really know how to deal with it or what was going on, so yeah, it was tough. In fact, it was almost better when they finally split up, because that took a lot of the tension out of the house. I don't know if I've answered your question.
It's fantastic. Tell us about, like, I remember you in year 8 at youth group. Tell us about going through a youth group and church and stuff like that. Did you ever give up on youth group and church? Is that what kept you going? Was that a good thing? It was quite prolonged, and you've been around for lots of that time. Tell us about it.
I suppose they didn't really have a lot to do with each other. I found I'd go to youth group, but generally it was just to hang out with my mates. I wasn't a Christian early high school. I thought I was, but I only really went to hang out with my mates. And then I went home and things were bad, and they were just kind of very distinct. And I never thought about, oh, I'm a Christian. God can help me through this. Or I never went to youth group and thought, oh, my mates, I could speak to them about this. So, yeah, they were very distinct from each other initially. Getting older, when I became a Christian, that was probably when it started to get worse. So I became a Christian about year 10. And then end of year 11 is when they start to split up. To be honest, because I'd been internalizing it for so long, I think I kept doing that a lot. I don't think I even really prayed about it much. There were stages where I did, when it got particularly bad, I'd be praying about it a lot. And that helped really at the worst times, but then I'd find I'd forget about it when it got a bit easier. So kind of didn't deal with it in a very healthy way.
We know that there's people going through the exact same things you're going through right now at youth group.
Yep.
The things you went through then,
yep,
they're going through now. What would your encouragement be to guys? Guys are often even worse at sharing stuff like this than girls are.
Yep.
So particularly to guys, but it's obviously applicable to girls as well. Would you encourage them to talk? How should they go about that?
I reckon it's important to talk to people. It can be really hard, especially if you're in the habit of not doing it. But I found when I did start speaking to people, it made it a lot easier. Like Aaron said, not because they said anything particularly intelligent or clever or insightful or sensitive, but just that you could get it out.
Yep.
Like I said, in the hardest times, I really did turn to God. And I think that's really all that got me through those times. And it's just when it got easier, I turned away again. So I really encourage you to lean on your Christian mates, but lean on God, because God will always be there for you. And don't just, when it gets easier, forget about it, because, that's crazy. God is there for us always, and He cares about us, and He cares about every detail of our lives. And He knows what's going on in our lives, and He wants to help us. He never promised that we're going to have an easy, happy life. But, He's there for us, so don't turn your back on Him. It's crazy. Yeah.
That's really helpful stuff, Josh. Is there any other stuff that comes to mind as far as, if you've covered a fair bit there, how you dealt with it and what it was like even in part, but you did sort of assume almost a father type role over your siblings in lots of ways.
Yep.
That would have been pretty crazy, yeah?
Yeah. Very crazy.
And how did you deal with, how do you make sense of that? Like, you're a 16-year-old guy, 16, 17-year-old guy, and you've got a kid who's 10, 9. Like, that's pretty old kids.
I remember during that time, Josh, going around to your place, with a couple, maybe you're a little bit older, and you putting your brothers and sisters to bed, and I was thinking, wow, that's a lot of responsibility for someone who's younger than I am.
I when you were 18, 19, going over your place, and you make food and you do it was incredible, the responsibility. You're a legend, Josh. We love you.
thanks guys. It was weird. It's probably not the way we're built to be. I mean, I'm my brother's and sister's brother, not their dad, but that makes sense.
A lot. Not in Wyoming though, where I grew up.
Oh no!
They're like Tasmanians. Sorry, I really like Tasmania. I do.
And Tasmanians. They're fantastic.
Sorry, keep going.
So yeah, I'm definitely not their father. Just to be clear on that. Mum's a nurse. Really busy job. She had to work lots of night shifts, which meant she wasn't around for a lot of the time. So I did kind of have to step up and to take more responsibility kind of by default. When I was in it, I probably didn't think about it too much. If Mum wasn't home, I just cooked dinner. If she still wasn't home, I put them to bed, and it's just what you do. Looking back on it, it it kind of forced me to grow up really early, which I think has meant now that I have more space, I've kind of reverted a bit, which is fun because it means I get to still swing on swings and stuff, which guys my age aren't allowed to do anymore.
Daniel does. And he's older.
Swings are great, kids.
Get into them, but be safe when you use them.
Yeah, come on, guys.
Seatbelts on swings.
Yeah.
Yeah. What it has done, though, is it's meant I've got a really, really close relationship with my brothers and sisters, particularly the two younger ones. Yeah, so that's a huge positive that's come out of that. Yeah. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, that's great. Thanks heaps, Josh, and thanks everyone. We're going to sign off in a moment. What is that? Reese's Pieces.
Yeah, I just pulled it out of my pocket.
That's great. Thanks for that, Daniel.
This morning. Me and Jono McKeown went to the lolly shop and bought American candy.
Yeah.
Do you want to try Reese's Piece?
I've heard of Reese's peanut. Like,
is it chocolate?
In a packet. In a packet. Come on.
Well, we're going to finish up. Is there any other... like we want you to use this episode for yourself.
It'll be fine. He doesn't pick his bum. Come on, I don't want this reputation.
Daniel told me last night that did Renee say it to you?
Yeah, Renee said to me, I can't believe I married that guy. And I said, which guy? She goes, you know the one. Oh, there's Daniel, what's he gonna do? Oh, he's picking his nose. Oh, he's gonna pick his bum.
Daniel.
Yeah. And she said, I can't believe I married that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
What was she talking about that?
I don't know.
They talk. That's where things lead. But we want you to use this episode. We want you to be encouraged by it, no matter what your circumstance is. We've only scratched the surface. All of our leaders have different stories they could tell you. They want to talk to you. They want you to talk to them. This might be a great episode to pass on to others. The Jaywalk magazine is fantastic. I'm saying that before it's actually fully been published, but there's stuff already been written, ready to go. Let me encourage you to... In times when life might be hard, keep trusting Jesus. Is there anything people want to share finally? Otherwise, I'm going to close with a Bible verse. Thanks heaps, everyone.
Yeah,
seriously.
They're good.
Right?
Yeah, in this world, we might not have a good circumstance. We might not have a family or parents who, you know, maybe the relationships aren't what God would want them to be. But in any time that relationships fail in this world, we have complete... relationship in Jesus. We have a Father in God who loves us, and we have brothers and sisters as Christians as well. We have family, even where families and relationships might fail. We have it all in Jesus and in one another as well. Did I steal anything, David?
Amen. No, that's great. Anything else, other people? That's really helpful, right?
Just bring on heaven.
Bring it on. Like, there's the promise that there's a better time coming, that that there'll be a time when those who trust in Jesus, everything will be restored, relationships will be perfect, there won't be broken homes, we'll be hanging out with Jesus, gathered around his throne, worshipping our King who died and rose again for us. There's people who say, what would God know about suffering and tough times? The answer is Jesus. Jesus humbled himself and became a man. He became obedient to death upon a cross. He died a death that he didn't deserve. He died a death that we deserve. God knows suffering. God took suffering upon himself to bring an end to suffering. So let me encourage you out there to trust in Jesus. Find out more about him. If you don't live near us, find a youth group. We can help you find a youth group or a church or more information about the stuff we've chatted about. But thanks heaps, guys. Check us out, www.cccyouth.com. If you've got any questions or comments, cccyouth@gmail.com.
.com.
Peace out. We hope you enjoy this Jaywalk issue, and we'll catch you soon. Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Did you finish with the Bible verse?
Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That wasn't the one I was going to go for,
but it was a little bit shorter.
Amen.
Peace out. We finish with the Bible verse. Well, Jesus wept.